Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Forging the Path. My name is Adam, and this podcast is all about empowering men to become who God created us to be. And if ever there was a time in our culture where we needed godly men to rise up, to stand up, to be strong, bold, humble, servant leaders, it's right now. And so this podcast is aimed at encouraging and equipping, influencing men to be who God called us to be, and to do that by fixing our eyes on Jesus, looking at the Word of God, and developing a band of brothers around us. Lately, we've been going through, probably the last couple months, about once a week, we've been going through the Minor Prophets. And it's this section of scripture from Hosea to Malachi that is often overlooked. There's not a lot of Sunday school stories, if you grew up going to Sunday school, that's focused on these books. There aren't many sermon series, if you go to church or if you listen to sermons online, that are focused on these books. You can find them here and there, but it's glossed over quite a bit. Part of the reason I want to spend a little bit of time going over this is because we need men with a little bit more of that prophetic personality. And I don't mean like prophecy can get confusing. I don't just mean future telling. That's part of the prophetic. But what I really mean is just speaking truth boldly, unapologetically, courageously, sometimes creatively, to the people around us. Sharing God's heart to those around us. It can be a call to repentance. It can be an encouragement to continue, but it's delivered in a manner like if you read these guys, it's delivered unapologetically. It's delivered with Holy Spirit power in it. And so that's why we're going through some of these books. Today, we're going to take a quick look at Haggai. Right, Haggai is a smaller but powerful prophetic book with a few challenges for God's people. It was written around 520 BC, so that's a little over 500 years before Jesus walks onto the scene, and it's about 70 years after the Babylonian exile. So if you know your scripture a little bit, you know that Israel divided into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom got taken away by the Assyrians in the 700s, and then in the 500s, the southern kingdom of Judah got taken away by Babylon. Well, Babylon then, 70 years later, gets taken over by the kingdom of Persia. And under the Persian Empire, Israel is allowed, to many of them, to return to their land. And they're doing so right now in the context of Haggai under Joshua, the high priest, and a guy named Zerubbabel. What a sweet name. The governor. And so that's the leadership, Joshua and Zerubbabel. This is somewhat during the time of Zechariah and a little bit before Ezra and Nehemiah and Malachi, if you ever take a look at those books. Here's the situation of Haggai. The temple is in ruins, because the Babylonians destroyed it. The people are coming back to their land in Israel from Babylon. They're struggling. And they're struggling to rebuild. They're trying to rebuild their houses, their farms, their businesses, their marketplaces, their towns and communities. And it's not going really well. In this short book of Haggai, Haggai's name actually means festive. So that's kind of ironic right there. Haggai, festive. And here's the situation. Anything but festive. At least they're out of Babylonian exile, but they're coming back to some very difficult challenges. Also, while they're facing all this, there are enemies around them in proximity geographically that do not like the Israelites. They are not happy that they've returned to this land to rebuild. So this is a tough situation. It's a situation. In chapter one, here's the main practical application. You need to examine your priorities. And we can apply this to ourselves, by the way. Guys, we should be applying this to ourselves. Haggai is calling the people to look at their priorities because right now, in this context, they are more interested in building their own houses than in the house of the Lord. The temple's lying in ruins, and they're trying to, you know, tend to their own goals, their own comforts, their own pleasures, their own businesses, more than God's house and God's work. So, right, where is their trust? It's in themselves. It's in themselves. And we see this today, don't we? We see this today with people who so often, and I fall into this too. You can just go through the motions. You can attend church, but you're mostly focused on your own thing, right? I got my goals. I got my house. I got my business. I got my stuff, my desires, my comforts, my pleasures. I got things to build. And we put the Lord's work on the back burner. God's house today is not a physical temple in Jerusalem, but as the New Testament says, throughout in many areas, God's house is his people. God dwells among his people. It's in 1 Peter 2, it's in Ephesians 2, it's in 1 Corinthians 3. Do you not know that you are the house of the Lord? And so what does it mean to put the Lord's house first today for us as Christian men? How are you listening to the prophetic warning from Haggai and applying it to your own life? And maybe you're like me and sometimes you're not even thinking about it and you need to repent and say, oh yeah, like it's not about me. And then you apply that to everything else you're trying to build, even the things that God's called you to, your family, your home, your business, your work. Like it's, as you build those things, you're now building them unto the Lord. And you're keeping his kingdom as the highest priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you, like Jesus said in Matthew. So examine your own priorities. Are you more interested in your own pleasures, your own comforts, your own goals, your own whatever, more than the house of the Lord, his work, his kingdom, what he's seeking to accomplish through his people, your very own spiritual brothers and sisters? And then in chapter 2, there's an encouragement about the house of the Lord. They start building it, but it looks nothing like what Solomon's temple looked like. It's a sad comparison. And so they're discouraged. And so in Haggai 2, he's trying to encourage the people to reject a defeatist attitude. And so that's the other application. Reject a defeatist attitude when you too run into opposition or when you run into unmet expectations. Sometimes you have to fight against that discouragement. You have to fight against the temptation to compare and then feel like you're not measuring up. So reject the defeatist attitude. That's a lot of what the first 9 chapters of Haggai 2 are really all about. Encouragement about the house of the Lord, that the Lord will do the work. Even though right now, you know, at first glance, that temple that they were building looked dismal compared to Solomon's temple. And later on in chapter 2, verses 10 through 19, Haggai's asking the people to focus on purity and a little bit, once again, on priorities. So the practical application for us there might be to confess your failures, seek to live a pure life before God. Be honest about yourself. Avoid things that would make your own heart impure. Flee from those things and fight for purity. So that would get as radical as you need to get. You know your struggles. Some of you out there are struggling with things that others aren't, but get real honest. First get honest with the Lord, and then get honest with a couple other brothers around you. Where are you losing the battle for purity? And now fight. Fight. Get rid of anything that leads to impurity. Get rid of all the stumbling blocks. Get rid of the temptation. Get radical. Ask other guys to hold you accountable. Confess your sin. Confess your failures. And seek to live a pure life before God. You got to fight for that. And then the very last couple sentences in Haggai chapter 2. It's only a 2-chapter book. It's really short. future hope, prophetic promises. Haggai's asking the people to act courageously for God because they have this assurance that he's always been with them. He always will be with them. He's in total control and he will bless them as they serve him. And the last, he talks about he will shake everything that can be shaken. And then he says, on that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. There's a little bit of foreshadowing of the Messiah in there. That's a messianic promise because Zerubbabel was the governor. He was also part of the ancestral line of Judah. So he's an ancestor of Jesus Christ. And so there's a prophetic promise here of the real king, a future hope. And we have that same future hope, a coming king, a coming conqueror, a king who will make everything right and just in the end. And so we put our hope in that as we work, as we do the work. So the four practical applications to sum it all up, the book of Haggai, tons of great applications for us today. First, examine your own priorities. What are you most interested in? Are you more interested in your own self, in your own pleasures, in your own comforts? Or are you interested in the Lord and his work and his house? Number two, reject a defeatist attitude, especially when you run into opposition, which you will. And when you run into unmet expectations, which you will. When that happens, reject a defeatist attitude. Take heart and continue to do the good work that God's called you to do. Number three, confess your failures. Seek to live a pure life before God and get as radical as you need to get rid of impurity in your life. The last one, act courageously because we have this assurance. We have an assurance. Be courageous. Doesn't matter what happens in the news headlines. Doesn't matter what happens around the world. Doesn't even matter what happens in your life. At the end of this story, at the end of human history, God wins. Jesus reigns and he's in control. And we're on our way to that beautiful, victorious ending. Whatever bumps in the road we happen to experience along the way, that will be the final result. So take heart and be courageous. That is the book of Haggai for now. Thank you so much. We'll see you guys next time on Forging the Path.